Hi, I'm James Schillinglaw, and I'm here with Derek Stevens, who's the owner and CEO of Circa Las Vegas. And if you haven't heard of Circa Las Vegas, you better soon, because it's the newest property in Las Vegas, in downtown Vegas. And Derek is the impresario, creator of all of it, along with his team. And we're going to talk with him, because we were just at the opening just a few weeks ago. And we're going to talk to him all about that and more on Insider Travel Report. Now, first of all, Derek, how are you and where are you? I assume you're at your new resort.
Yeah, I am. James, great to talk to you. I am in I'm in my new office here at Circa Las Vegas. And things have been great. I mean, we've been open for a month now, and a month from now we open the rest of the property, which is the hotel and Legacy Club. But things have gone well, and it's exciting times.
Yeah, well, we're going to talk about a lot of the features there, because I was lucky enough to be at that opening, and it was amazing to be at an opening in during the COVID era, put it that way. It was just a totally different type of situation. It was really brilliant. So now you're originally from Michigan. You went to school there and you operate businesses there. What attracted you in the beginning to Las Vegas? Did you just come to Las Vegas because you liked the gaming and entertainment?
Well, you know, I came to Las Vegas many, many times, and I came for really two reasons. I came, one, because I was involved with a company where we did trade shows, and I was out for conventions for work-related issues. And then I also came because, personally, I love Las Vegas, and I was a big boxing fan, so I kind of orientated [S2] Right. [S1] A lot of my trips around going to the big fights or potentially coming out for big sporting events.
No, and that's as we all do it. I mean, I go out for conferences all the time for the last 30 years, I think, and that's how I got to know it. Now, what led you to explore kind of the history of Vegas? Because you got a lot of references in this new resort to all the legendary former casino operators and owners. It actually brings back sort of a lot of the history.
Yeah, you know what? My first casino that I purchased was the Golden Gate Hotel and Casino. And what's unique about the Golden Gate, and one of the things I loved back in 2006, was the fact that it's the oldest building in the history of Las Vegas, and it's got an address that nobody could copy. It's 1 Fremont Street.
There you go.
And you know, it's located right in downtown Las Vegas on Fremont Street. So when we first started, you know, renovating and expanding the Golden Gate, I kind of felt an obligation that we needed to preserve some of the unique history of the Golden Gate. And that's really kind of carried on with a lot of the projects we've done. You know, that's really what we tried to do when we purchased Fitzgerald's and turned that into the D.
Right.
And then that's really one thing I wanted to really, you know, focus on when we purchased the Vegas Club and this whole property that is now Circa Las Vegas. We wanted to make sure we had some of the touches of some of the great history of Las Vegas built into this resort.
No, and you certainly do, having been there now. And so this really, I mean, was it just by chance that you become kind of the lord of downtown Vegas, the Fremont Street? I don't know. You seem to be, you have a little empire there, quite frankly.
Oh, you know, I was fortunate that in 2006, buying into the Golden Gate, and that's the smallest casino on Fremont Street. But I got to sit on the board of the Fremont Street Experience. And this is the body, that the entity that manages Fremont Street, and it's owned by all the casinos. So I got to know all the casino owners and everything like that. And it's a pretty unique entity where we really all get along well, and we have a common goal, and the goal is just to bring people to Fremont Street, and we're not out, you know, trying to hustle up each other's customers or anything like that. We have a pretty strong collective desire of just trying to make Fremont Street better, and we all celebrate each other's investments and things like that. And for me, I got to kind of grow up in this environment. So, you know, I'd say one thing led to the next, now we're here. So, but there's an awful lot of people with some sweat equity, and there's an awful lot of people with some serious cash equity that have gone into this, and I'm just one of those.
Well, I think downtown Vegas really is the hot spot for a variety of reasons, and you're the newest and one of the biggest now with Circa, and you have your other properties. But we were seeing the redevelopment of downtown for quite some time. Unfortunately, the gentleman who just passed away, Tony Hsieh, who would for Zappos was really responsible for the revival there too. And let's hope that continues. And then we all used to go down for Fremont Street Experience, but after a while, when you've seen it once or twice, you got to go out down for other things, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the one great thing about Fremont Street Experience is that it always continues to evolve. Obviously, in 2020, it's a little bit different. I mean, when I first came here, the Fremont Street Experience had entertainment usually just on Friday night or Saturday night and on two different stages. In 2019, Fremont Street Experience had free entertainment on three stages, seven nights a week, and drew, a heck of a crowd. I mean, in 2019, Fremont Street Experience was the second most visited tourist destination in America.
Wow.
Times Square was number one, and Fremont Street Experience did 24 million people. So it really became a place where it was a destination to go to. Even if you stop by for a couple hours during the day, right. Obviously more of a nighttime experience, but it really has become a pretty hot spot if you happen to be in Las Vegas.
No, absolutely. And now you got things like the Mob Museum there, and you have the different dining venues. It seems if you're a hot chef in Vegas, you get a place downtown, right? It seems to be the place to go. But let's talk a little bit about the new resort. I mean, obviously you had the opportunity to buy the property at the one end of of Vegas there, and of Fremont Street, I should say. And you did it. And then how did you conceive of Circa as it is today?
Well, I would say there's a handful of things that we always wanted to do, and we just never thought we had the right scale. I've always wanted to build a rather significant sports book, and I wanted to be in the sports book business. I wanted us to be able to develop a team, be able to put the lines out and be able to manage, this type of business. And we never thought at the Golden Gate or really even at the D initially that we would have enough scale to do it.
Right.
So when we were able to put this property together to build Circa, I knew that one of the key features was going to have to be the sports book. And really, that's how the world's biggest sports book evolved. For me personally, many, many years ago, I still remember walking into Caesar's Palace and seeing that sports book. And I remember walking into, at that point in time, the Las Vegas Hilton and seeing the Superbook. And I thought that was, a rather memorable experience for me, and I thought it was also a memorable experience for a lot of people I knew. So I wanted to create something that was very attraction orientated, where people would come into our new property and want to look at something and say, oh my God, look at this, let's take a picture, let's tell our friends about it.
Right.
So when we went going about to build Circa, we wanted to be very attraction orientated.
Yeah, well, you certainly have. I mean, that sports book is definitely an attraction. That's the first thing we see when you walk in almost, and it's what, three stories high. It's got a television studio with this next door. It's got everything you need, and you can see every game. It's like a sports heaven. You can see every game you want, right?
Yeah, you can see every game you want. I mean, I kind of grew up as a sports bettor, so I want to make sure that every big game's on TV, so that everyone, no matter what game you bet on, you have a chance to watch it.
Yeah, well, I would have loved that yesterday. I was watching a lot of football yesterday, so that was. Now let's talk a little bit about the dining options at Circa, and many of them kind of reflect your own Michigan background. I'm thinking of Saginaw's Deli, who I actually met Mr. Saginaw, Victory Burger and Jackpots. I mean, these are all outlets that you were familiar with in Michigan, both in Ann Arbor and I guess in Detroit, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've known the owners of Victory Burger, Chris Sotteropoulos and Grace Karros. I mean, we brought them in. They their family owned this rather iconic brand, American Coney Island, and we brought them into the D. And I've been so impressed with their operational skills and their attitude that when we were developing Circa, I said, I have to build, a sports bar and grill. And we worked together on really developing and curating the type of menu we were looking for. And yeah, I'm glad that they were willing to expand inside a circus. So that's been great. And then, yeah, Paul Saginaw is a guy that I knew remotely. I didn't really know him personally until maybe 5 years ago. And I cold called him and kept cold calling him and finally had a chance to get out there and get him out here to check out the D and tell him about what we're doing at Circa. And obviously I'm a big fan of Zingerman's Delicatessen. That's the company that he co-founded. And I mean, I think it's the best Jewish delicatessen in the country. And Paul's a rather amazing entrepreneur, rather amazing character. And
absolutely, and he is a character there. He has a huge statue of himself in front of the whole deli, right?
He absolutely does. And you know, when I asked him, I said, "Hey, we want to bring in a deli. Can you make this the best deli in America?" And he never flinched. He just said, "Absolutely." And then, you know, it opens up the ability to have a drink in hand and let Paul tell a story for about 2 hours, just about rye bread. And then it goes on to corned beef, and then it goes on to the next element. So
I think I have to come out and interview him just on rye bread. It sounds like it.
He's passionate. Right.
But then you have a lot of other outlets too. You got 8 East, which is a lovely Asian food, Pan-Asian, I guess. You got Project Barbecue, which is the one I tried when I was out there. That is actually out on Fremont Street. It's a food truck, right?
Yeah, it started off as a food truck on Fremont Street, and now it's built into what looks to be a food truck, but it's a permanent installation right on Fremont Street. They've got a great great location, great place to people watch. It's also the vendor for our sports book, so you can order Project Barbecue directly to our big sports book. And, you know, it provides a little bit of an opportunity to do barbecue and bottle service. You have the ability to have a nice sized group, get some dinner and get some bottle service while you're watching some of the bands on Fremont Street and doing some people watching.
No, that's great. And it's right next to the Circa bar too. I think my experience was I had to wolf down a little brisket of beef before I did your press conference. I think that was, otherwise I wasn't eating. So it was good. So I was full by that time. So it was good. I would love to go back and see it. Now you also have a pretty upscale, your Barry's Primetime, right?
When we brought this in, Barry's and 8 East have a different type of connection. You know, I wanted to do something with an Asian themed restaurant, and I met out with the owners of Latai, Dan and Shauna, and Latai is one of my favorite restaurants on Fremont East, and one of the reasons I wanted to make sure that we had a Fremont East connection was because I got to, you know, be invested in downtown while Fremont East really was you know, concepted and then grew. And you know, Dan Shauna brought in a handful of other local investors as part of 8 East. So that was a key component for me. I wanted to have some local content. I really didn't want to have any change here. I wanted something special that when people came here, they had the opportunity to meet some rather special restaurateurs and entrepreneurs. And that's the same thing with Nine Steakhouse. I mean, with the guys from Nine Steakhouse, the guys that you know, founded Barry's Downtown Prime, you know, Barry Daycake and then Marco Yassine, they've worked together back when they were at Nine. And this was the first time where really they got to be owners and operators. You know, bringing them in you know, their food product and their reputation and the fact they bring in a lot of high end clients, it really kind of fit with a little bit of the theming of Circa. And you know, just to ice it all, we really hit it off very well. So I'm very excited to have all these restaurateurs as part of our crew.
Well, down Barry's downtown prime, I tell you, it's so big. I feel you got about three steakhouses down there. You got all these different rooms and different themes, and it really is an amazing place. So it sounds like everybody's going to be well fed at Circa, no matter how you do it. So they better get fed, because then they have to go out to do some swimming, possibly at your other concept, Stadium Swim. And let's talk a little bit about that. And really, it's you know, obviously this is going to turn into probably a real hub, a popular pool and entertainment concept with that huge screen in the background. And that's where we all had the big opening with you. It was a spectacular event. And tell us a little bit about Stadium Swim.
Yeah, Stadium Swim was really, you know, that really evolved from what we did at our event center, at the downtown Las Vegas Event Center. And, you know, that's a venue that we've held many events, concerts, food festivals, music festivals, and then watch parties. And really in the first year with the Golden Knights being so popular, I mean, we were bringing up to 8,000 people out just to watch a game together. And the energy and the vibe of watching a game and the camaraderie of people and being outside, it all really blended together. It really had a big impact on our thought process of Stadium Swim. And for us, you know, opening Stadium Swim, it's not as if we've never done this. I mean, we've been really running our event center for 5 years, and we have to trial quite a few different concepts out there. And, you know, that all really helped us kind of develop Stadium Swim. I wanted to create something, you know, with a large screen. I wanted to be able to provide a focal point. I wanted to have a multi-tiered experience. I wanted to have multiple pools. And I wanted something to be open that would be open year round. Right. You know, so this is with our pool concept. It's open 365 days a year, basically. You know, water temperatures generally around 90 to 95. And it's a place to go out, you know, in Las Vegas when you have so much sunshine. Literally 5 minutes before I got on the Zoom with you, I was up at Stadium Swim. And, you know, I know it snowed in the Midwest and a little bit of the East Coast right now, but it's, you know, it's 62 degrees here. It feels like it's about 78. It's perfectly sunny and people are in the pool. And it's exactly kind of what I wanted to develop, you know, during a daytime period. Right. And then what's evolved is the nighttime component, where we've actually have done more bookings in our first month, you know, after the sun sets, because people are really coming out to look for a destination where they can be outside and be able to watch games, whether it's a Thursday night football or Saturday night football or something where you can come out and you can watch these games with unbelievable clarity and unbelievable sound. So it's a great, great place to be able to watch events. And at Stadium Swim, we kind of blend in a couple of concepts. Sports is on, but it's generally more background. It's very musically orientated, but it's not musically orientated the way a day club would be, where it's high expensive tickets, you know, for big name DJs. You know, in the winter season, you know, our ticket price is $10 to get in for GA. In the summer, it'll be $20. So it's a reasonable ticket price to be out in a great outdoor venue. Again, this kind of goes back to where we wanted to create these experiences, and this is kind of a destination location. We expect to do over 4,000 people a day at Stadium Swim, and so far so good.
No, it sounds great, and it really was a beautiful venue. And you don't really have the classic nightclub, but this is kind of an indoor, outdoor, I should say, nightclub that can serve as a sports venue. I mean, when you were having your opening and you were up on stage, I said, well, maybe that's where the stage is for Circa. You know, you have some great entertainers there, or something like that.
Yeah, it's our outdoor. It's our aqua theater. So that's our showroom right there.
Well, just don't do any high diving from up on the top somewhere. Oh. That's like that. Now, you're paying so much attention to food and to sports book and to the Stadium Swim. I've never seen a luxury garage to the point where you're calling it Garage Mahal. And it's not a garage. I'm sorry. I was corrected. It's a transportation hub, right?
Yeah, you know, I always thought that just going back to before ride sharing technology was around, I always wondered, why did garages around the country have to be so dirty, so dimly lit, and why do garages have to provide an environment where people just don't feel safe? So I always wanted to create something that was a little bit the opposite of that. Now I understand, you know, if you're in New York City or you're in Chicago or DC and you know, you're limited on your real estate, and parking is at a premium, there's only so much you can do. I understand you have to deal with your environment, but from a clean slate basis, I wanted to create something that was, you know, very well lit. I wanted to create something that had a little more fun to it, you know, with some music and some art, spaces that are a little bit wider than maybe others, so you can feel a little more comfortable parking, you're not getting dings on your car, and put a little concierge on the floor to be able to help people out. And the overall component was, I wanted to make sure that people felt safe.
Right.
And that's what we did from the parking side. What we really did with the transportation hub, the entire first floor of Garage Mahal is all about ride sharing. We tried to make sure it was optimal for an Uber driver, a Lyft driver, for a taxi cab driver, for a limo driver. And obviously in Vegas, there's lots of limos for people to be able to come in, come out, easy for the customers to come in and come out, and give them an arrival experience that they look like, wow, this is pretty great. So yeah, we got the music rocking, and we just want people to feel good and feel energized about it. So I just didn't want to call it a parking garage. I wanted it to be something where it was special, and that's why I felt we had to name it. And then that's how one night we called Garage Mahal.
You can go to the Taj Mahal or the Garage Mahal. That's your choice, right? And I loved it too, because I mean the art is amazing. There's that huge chandelier that has your logo in it. It's really, and then you know, throwback for me, a lot of sculpture with little matchbox cars, which, you know, I'm sorry, I used to collect them. They're somewhere in some attic some point, but I to see them in Boston in an artwork is pretty impressive. But and now let's turn to what's coming later this month. You're going to open up, I mean, this, we've been talking about all this stuff and it's great stuff, but you're going to be opening up all the rooms and it's 777 rooms. I wonder who chose that number. It's a 777 rooms. And then, of course, you're going to have what you're calling the Legacy Club. First of all, tell us about the accommodations, the rooms that are coming up.
Sure. So 777 was the number that we applied for in our permits. We are going to open with 512 rooms on December 28th. So what we've done within our hotel tower, we've actually shelled out seven floors. We've left those floors empty. And the reason we've done that is because we want to make a determination, let's say a year and a half from now, to add in more room product where demand is. We may need more two-bedroom suites. We may need more one-bedroom. We may need more standard rooms. We may need more hospitality or bunk rooms. So we've got a little bit of, you know, expansion capabilities. So we're going to open with 512.
Okay.
And we're going to go from there. And we're opening with all the different types of room products. So we're opening with all the room products I just mentioned, plus, you know, sunset suites, sunrise suites. We're going to open with 26 different room products. I think people are going to be very, very excited about the type of room product that we have. Obviously, you know, newer hotel rooms have amenities that are more needed today. I mean, we're going to have obviously a lot of outlets, great Wi-Fi access, some other great electronics, but we're going to have we're also going to have some really nice space, so people feel very comfortable with the type of bedding, with the type of couch or table situation, and we think we got a couple of tricks up our sleeve. People are going to really like the hotel rooms.
Well, I'm looking forward to coming back out and taking a look at the rooms, because we saw some photos of them. They looked amazing. And given what else you had, I could expect nothing less, to be honest with you. But let's talk about the top of the top floor, which is now going to be called it's the Legacy Club, which is sort of your marquee lounge. And again, you're paying homage to a lot of Las Vegas greats. Tell us a little about this club.
Yeah, you know, when we were designing and concepting the whole property, we always were wondering what were we going to do with the rooftop. And it took us not that long. We figured, well, we're going to have to turn this into a lounge. And a lot of it had to do with the fact that the view up at this location is really amazing. You know, we We sent some drones up. We took pictures, and we thought, oh my, you know, at various times of the day. And the location is pretty unique, just really on the corner of, you know, Las Vegas Boulevard, I'm sorry, of Fremont Street and Main Street. And where you're located, you have a very unique view of the entire strip. So while you're up there, you have a clear view. You got a clear view of the Red Rock Mountains. So you get to see, the Red Rock Mountains, and you get to see these great, great sunsets. And these sunsets in Vegas, for, you know, some of your fans who may not realize this, the sunsets in Vegas are really, really spectacular many, many nights. So you get this perfect sunset view over the Red Rock Mountains, but then your night really doesn't just end there, because what happens then is you look to the south, you see Las Vegas light up. It's a really, really amazing, amazing scenario. So what we're going to be doing at Legacy Club, we're going to be selling these sunset packages, you know, outdoors on the rooftop. We've got these fire pits, you know, you can rent. And our packages are really going to start about a half hour before sunset every day. So you get the sunset, and then you also get this view of Vegas lighting up. But we think that's going to be pretty cool at the time of sunset. And then with our lounge, yeah, inside we're going to have a new vibe, some new music that people are going to, I think, going to be excited about. And we really celebrate some of the great Las Vegas icons, basically. You know, these guys with legacies that have really done something to help create Las Vegas to be what it is today. So we think we're going to have a pretty cool lounge up there, and it's going to be, again, another attraction for people to visit.
No, I'm excited to see it. I saw some of the photos and some of the people you were celebrating up there, and heard about the fire pits. I want to see how that works. And I know that view. They're not from yours. It must be spectacular, but I have seen it also as Vegas lights up, and the mountains in the background is pretty spectacular. Now, when you were back at University of Michigan, did you ever think you'd become sort of a Vegas casino resort impresario, who may, you know, soon rank in some of these great developers like Wynn, Krikorian, Binion, and many others? Is that what you dreamed about doing, or did it just fall into place?
No, I definitely didn't. I didn't have any of those thoughts. I just was somebody that showed up in Vegas for work and pleasure. And, you know, I moved an investment portfolio out here, and, you know, I love operating companies. So I got into the Golden Gate, and I thought, you know, buying into the Golden Gate, I'm either going to, I'm either going to like this business and let it grow, or, you know, I'm not going to make it. So there was really not a lot of thought after, you know, the first investment. But, you know, after a couple of years at Golden Gate and really falling in love with downtown Las Vegas and getting to meet a lot of people, you know, I thought, okay, my brother and I, we wanted to expand. So that's how we ended up buying Fitzgerald's. And really, it's been one thing at a time. So it's really been the journey that's been great. But no, back when I was in Ann Arbor, believe me, I didn't ever think about it at all.
That's not part of the college curriculum, last I heard. It was how to be a Vegas impresario and open a bunch of casinos, right?
No, I was more worried about figuring out how I was going to scrap together enough money to catch a flight out to watch a game. That was about the extent of my forethought on Las Vegas back then.
Oh, wow, great. Now, Zach, we go out to about 100,000 travel advisors out in the U.S. now. Anything else you want to tell them about Circa and downtown Las Vegas and what's happening?
Well, I would just tell everybody, next time you're in Las Vegas, come down and visit. We've got some great attractions. I believe some must-see attractions. Whether you're a pool person or not, I do highly recommend going to Stadium Swim just to check out the vibe, because it's something you've never done anytime you've been in Las Vegas before. And spend a little time checking out some of our bars. I mean, Mega Bar is the longest bar west of the Mississippi. Check out Vegas Vicky's. You know, you've got...
Well, I had a question. I flipped over that question. I didn't mention the bars. Vegas Vicky, which is kind of the icon of the resort. In fact, you did your press event right next to it. It's and tell people a little about what Vegas Vicky is, if you could.
Yeah, Vegas Vicky was a sign that was hanging out on Fremont Street for almost four decades. And when we purchased one of the buildings that was part of our real estate assemblage, the name of this building was called the Glitter Gulch. And Vegas Vicky, that very iconic Las Vegas sign, was affixed to the building. So when we demolished all the old buildings, we actually saved the original Vegas Vicky, and we refurbished the sign and everything like that. And we thought it would be a great connection to the past. So we've actually utilized the sign, utilized her as one of the centerpieces of our property. So now she's in the middle of a 3-story atrium, all in her neon glory.
And she moves too. She her knees kick. So that's it's a great. And plus, you have the longest bar, I believe, in Las Vegas and maybe in Nevada, is what I've heard, right?
Yeah, well, Long Bar, I think, was the longest bar. Long Bar at the D Las Vegas, I believe, was the longest bar west of the Mississippi.
Right.
And this is the one element in Circa that I absolutely plagiarized, but I did it from our own business. So I think Long Bar was a little over 100 feet long, and Mega Bar is now I think about 160 or 165 feet long, and it just worked for us. And I would say I highly recommend meeting some friends there. If you meet them, you gotta designate. You're gonna meet them on the east side, the west side, the central. It can get pretty crowded, and you can't necessarily find somebody. But it's a lot of fun. Music jumping. So it's something that I recommend people to come out and just have a little bit of fun.
Well, it's lovely to have a bar where you need a map to figure out where you're going on the bar. And then not to mention you got the overhang bar, which I believe is a little throwback to your days in Detroit, which is, in Detroit Stadium, right?
Yeah, the old Tiger Stadium. There was the right field. They had this area called the overhang, which actually, hung over the field of play. And when we designed, the world's biggest sports book, 3 stories and all that, we built, our upper level to have a little bit of an overhang. It actually hangs over the sports book. So what we did is we created a great place to watch games, a great place to play video poker. And the bar next to it is called the Overhang Bar. So another great place to get a drink.
Well, there are a lot of great places to get a drink, to have some great food, really. And you can obviously go to the sports book, and soon you're going to have all these great rooms and stadium swim. It really is an incredibly engaging property, a brand new one. Derek, I want to congratulate you on the property. I think it's going to really do great things and really, once again, help revitalize it. It really already was revitalized downtown Las Vegas, but this is another thing. There seems to be so much going on down there.
Well, James, thanks much. I really appreciate you getting me on the show, and hope to see you at New Year's.
I will be there if I can, or if not, a little later, and just seeing everything's still going on, all the time down there. It's amazing. Derek, again, thanks very much.
Take care.
I'm James Schillinglaw, and this is Insider Travel Report.